Welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. I do my best to fill in for Melody today. Melody had to have the day off and asked me to do it, and I'll do the best I can. And understand, I'm not Melody, but I'll do the best I can and try to offer some advice and at least my opinion on what's happening in the world today and what's going on, and maybe enlighten somebody or maybe be a blessing to somebody. That's the whole idea of doing the program anyway, is it not? But again, we're brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And of course, Melody Seastrom is the one you need to talk to about that, because she offers the most competitive prices on precious metals. And if anybody out there, and folks, I've looked at the companies. I've dealt with the companies. Melody's the one I trust. Call her up at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. As Melody always does, we'll start with the markets and the precious metals. And the Dow was up 122 points today to close at 34,992. NASDAQ was up 18 at 14,719. S&P was up 13 at 43,83. Most of the markets overseas seem to be in a positive territory also, which is, I guess it's good. I don't understand how all that works, but I guess it's good. So I'm not going to go through all those. But gold was down slightly, 360 at 1807. Silver was up 18 cents at 26.25. Silver sure has been holding its own in the last few months. And overall, percentage-wise, it's been doing much better than gold has been for quite a while. I know the price is not nearly as expensive, but we look at it the right way, it's a poor man's precious metal. It really is. Everyone maybe would prefer gold if they could get it. But at $1,800+ an ounce, it's tough for a regular guy to get their hands on that. Silver, $26 or so an ounce, a little bit easier to get a few silver dollars in it. But nonetheless, whatever you can do, you need to do it, because I promise you, my friends, prices are not coming down. This next article I'm going to share with you will show to you proof, not, I mean, percentage proof, not nothing, numbers, I mean actual numbers of price increases in this country over the last 6 months. Since Biden got in office. No, it's not all Biden's fault. Not even close. Trump has sent down the same road, spending and spending and spending. So let's not blame Biden, although I don't like Biden. Don't blame it on him. But I'm just telling you this because the more is spent in debt with this national joke we call budget, the more that's printed and spent, the higher our costs will be. And as I've said many times, unless you what you got coming in equals inflation, you're losing ground. Many people, of course, are depending now on debt to maintain their livelihoods. They're back in their credit card debt and many other things. I mean, they're going in debt by trillions of dollars to maintain or buy, go in debt for cars they really can't afford because they want this, whatever it may be. And that's all part of the payment we pay with inflation and living on debt. A lot of people just cannot repay and they know it. Establishment media admit inflation is rising with price hikes for everything. The establishment media have begun to admit inflation is causing wild price hikes for everything under the Biden administration. CNN confessed that Americans have witnessed some wild price hikes over the past few months. Shortages and supply chain issues across the world have sent the cost to make and move goods soaring and left consumers paying up. The Wall Street Journal conceded Americans should brace themselves for several years. Now listen to this. It's not transitory. Not at all. I make a comment here. Inflation has been a way of life in this country, especially since the 1960s and 70s. It's not going to change, folks. Fiat currencies will inflate. There's no way around it. Americans should brace themselves for several years of higher inflation than they've seen in decades, according to economists who expect the robust post-pandemic economic recovery to fuel brisk price increases for a while. Vox published a story Thursday with the title, "Everything Feels More Expensive Because It Is," with a subtitle, "Why Are Prices Going Up? Used cars, gas, and groceries seem more expensive because they are." The establishment media reported the falling prices have increased since President Joe Biden has taken office. Again, it's not all him. It started under Trump. Maybe Trump could have done something differently now. I don't know. But the fake virus has caused a lot of these problems. Y'all know that as well as I do. But gasoline prices, folks, have went up 52.2%. Now, I'm going to go through these. So it takes a little time. I'm sorry, but they're important. Gasoline prices up over 56%. Fuel prices up 50.8%. Used cars and trucks prices up 29.7%. Airline fare, 24.1%. Motor vehicle insurance, 16.9%. Natural gas, 13.5%. Transportation services, 11.2%. Tobacco and smoking products, 7.3%. Apparels, 5.6%. Electricity, 4.2%. Physician services, 4.2%. Food away from home, 4.0%. New vehicles, 3.3%. Fruits and vegetables, 2.9%. Motor vehicle maintenance and repair, 2.8%. Hospital services, 2.6%. Food, 2.2%. Shelter, 2.2%. And I'm going beyond that. There's no point going any further than that. But the point of it is, everything has went up. With the main ones, of course, being fuel and vehicles and transportation. And folks, there's some things on the list that you maybe can do without. Everyone needs gasoline if you're going to move. Can't do without that. Fuel, if you're going to heat your house, if that's what you heat with. If you don't, you use natural gas, it's up also. Everyone needs, by law, in most states, to have vehicle insurance. It's up almost 17%. All these things are up, because these are things you need. Electricity's up. Clothing's up. Doctor services are up. All these things are up. But the food and fuel and other heating other services you cannot do without. Those things do affect all of us. And I don't know about many people out there that I don't know where you work or how you work or how far you got to travel to get there. But when you buy a gallon of gas, you're paying over 56% more than you were this time last year. Let that sink in a minute. Did you get a 56% pay increase to help pay for your gas? I seriously doubt it. I really do. We shrug it off because over the last decades, inflation has come up constantly. But not all at once. We kind of shrug it off and adjust to it and adjust our budgets if possible and try to maintain as best we can with whatever we had to maintain with. That's just what people do. At these current rates of increases, if this continues, obviously, be a lot of people going to be doing without a lot of different things that they really need, including fuel and electricity in the very near future and food. Coffee prices are going to soar after bad harvest and insatiable demand. I don't know about you all, but I like a good cup of coffee in the morning. I do. I get out of bed in the morning, get myself put together. I like a good cup of coffee, whether it gets to sit down on the front porch with porch swing, listen to the birds sing, or go back in the office, get to work, whatever it is. I like a good cup of coffee in the mornings. It said global consumption set to exceed production this year as Brazil is hit with worst drought-driven drop in output in almost 20 years. Global coffee prices are climbing and threatening to drive up costs at the breakfast table as the world's biggest coffee producer, Brazil, faces one of its worst droughts in almost a century. Prices for Arabica coffee beans, the main variety produced in Brazil, hit their highest level since 2016 last month. New York traded Arabica futures have risen over 18% in the past 3 months to $1.51 a pound. London traded Robusta, a stronger tasting variety favorite in instant coffee, have risen over 30% in the past 3 months to $1,749 a metric ton. Brazil's farmers are girding for one of their biggest slumps in output in almost 20 years after months of drought left plants to wither. Brazil's Arabica crop cycled between one stronger year followed by a weaker year. Following a record harvest in 2020-21 was set to be a weaker year, but the drop is more severe than expected. Now, again, that's no big deal. I mean, I'll be paying a little more cup of coffee. That is true. If that's all there was to it, is one cup of coffee, we wouldn't even notice it. But add that to a loaf of bread, a pound of butter, a sack of apples. Add that 4 or 5% to that. And that adds up, doesn't it? So understand, folks, this is not something we should just shrug off and say, well, it's going to be okay. It isn't. And inflation is a way of life for all nations with fiat currencies, which is every nation in the world as far as I know. And many nations have already went under because of this and are living on welfare from the IMF and other places. And the people are literally starving. We're going to discuss in a few minutes protests going on in Cuba right now. Now, in Cuba, of all places, thousands are in the streets against government orders protesting because their children are starving. Communism, socialism does not work for long. And America is totally a socialist country now. Whether you like to admit it or not, America is a socialist country. Governments worldwide gorge on record debt, testing new limits. An enormous pile of savings makes it possible for nations to borrow heavily at low cost, defying worries about inflation and sustainability. Now, folks, this is something you need to let sink in. Because the interest rates are low and the cost of borrowing for the nations has not been all that high, they're borrowing more than ever, and they hope they can sustain it. The pandemic has pushed global government debt to the highest level since World War II, surpassing the world's annual economic output. Governments, especially in rich countries, are borrowing still more, partly to erase the damage of COVID-19. Advocates say the spending, also encouraged by new economic thinking about debt, could usher in a period of robust global growth, reversing the malaise many wealthy countries have felt this century. But if those theories are off base, the world could be saddled with debts that can be absorbed only by inflation, high taxes, or even default. Let's repeat that again. If they guess wrong, and they're going to, the world could be saddled with debts that can be absorbed only via inflation, high taxes, or even default. Either way, the combination of huge debt and markets' lack of concern is unprecedented. The U.S. government is on course for a budget deficit of $3 trillion for the second year in a row. Despite that and fears of inflation, 10-year Treasury bonds are yielding only about 1.33% because the Federal Reserve's caution about raising its interest rates. Japan's central government debt is about to surpass a quadrillion yen, or nearly 10 trillion. Even with those public debts of over 250% of gross domestic product, Tokyo spends no more on interest this year than it did in 1980. So, folks, they're encouraged to borrow. They're spending more than the public debt is 250% more than what they produce in Japan in a year. And ours, of course, exceeds our gross domestic product also every year. The debt is not being paid. We're paying the interest at best. But the governments in the world really have little choice. Because fiat currencies only live on credit. They cannot live payment to payment, cash to cash, because they don't have cash. They don't have real money. They live debit to debit. And eventually that catches up to them. Just like it does an individual. It catches up to you. So, please, it's not just in America, it's worldwide. But I live here in this country. I live in a little tiny state called West Virginia. It's a second poor state in the country. Us in Mississippi trade back and forth between the poor states. We're always swapping back and forth who's a poor state. And inflation hurts everybody, especially the ones who are living on less money than the average person. It hurts those on fixed incomes for sure. You know that. I know that. We shouldn't consider anything other than that. That's the way it is. And on a different topic, but just as important, maybe you have noticed this if you're paying attention to the news. In some parts of the country, it's been in California. We're going to discuss California in a minute. And now it's going up the Northwest. And it's also been in Texas. The blackouts, the rolling blackouts. As Melody said before, and I've said on this program also, this is a way to get us used to the idea of rationing electricity to our homes. That's what it is. It's a way to get used to the idea of rationing electricity. A wildfire is pushing California toward the brink of blackouts. A wildfire raging uncontrollably across southern Oregon has knocked out three electrical lines so critical to the stability of grids in the western U.S. that California has warned of rotating blackouts and Nevada faced a power emergency. The fast-moving bootleg fire crippled a key transmission system known as the California-Oregon Intertie that the Golden State has depended on for years for electricity imports. Making matters worse, the takeoff of the Intertie has had a knock-on effect on another key import hub, known as the Pacific DC Intertap, that brings electricity from the Pacific Northwest. California's grid operators said in a media briefing Saturday, power supplies to the area covered by the grid have been reduced by as much as 35 megawatts because of the fire. After days of pushing state residents to limit energy use with the risk of rolling blackouts, California's got a break Sunday, as a grid operator said conditions were expected to be stable, with transmission lines knocked out by the fire, still out of service, and high temperatures expected to persist as demand picks up the new week. Another statewide conservation push through a so-called flex alert has been issued on Monday. If demand still outstrips supply after flex alert is in effect, the ISO could take the infrequent step of ordering California utilities to spread power outages of relatively short duration to effectively extend available electricity to as much as possible. Now listen, folks, they're going to choose who does the power. What, an hour a day, 2 hours a day? Many nations have been doing this for a long time. You get power 5 hours a day, and that's it. Then how many of y'all can exist on electricity 5 hours a day? If you have food in a freezer, you depend on electricity to keep your food fresh. I mean, what's going to happen if they cut? Well, if they cut 5 hours a day, just cut 5 hours a day. You get it for 19 hours a day. Will that affect you and what you do? Of course it would. What if you have electric heat in the winter? Think about these things, because we're getting accustomed, folks, in this country to doing without as planned for many years. We'll discuss later on, perhaps, the fact that they are going to put meters on people's wells, farmers' wells in the West, and charge them for water out of their own wells. That's, hey, folks, they've been doing that in Pennsylvania in some places for a lot of years. Metering your own private water supply. Oh, it can happen here. Oh, yes, folks, it can happen here. It's already happening here. And that's just the way it is. It's happening here. Cubans denounce misery in biggest protests in decades. Now, again, this is Cuba, 90 miles out the coast of Florida. Shouting freedom and other anti-government slogans, thousands of Cubans took to the streets and cities around the country on Sunday to protest food and medicine shortages in a remarkable eruption of discontent not seen in nearly 30 years. Thousands of people marched through San Antonio de los Baños, southwest Havana, with video streaming live on Facebook for nearly an hour before they suddenly disappeared. As the afternoon wore on, other videos appeared from demonstrations elsewhere, including Palma Scenario in the country's southeast. Hundreds of people also gathered in Havana, where a heavy police presence preceded their arrival. The people are dying of hunger, one woman shouted during the protest filmed in the province of Artemisia and the islands west. Our children are dying of hunger. Break time. Folks, just getting serious for a while. Unrest among nations is prophesied.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, this is Pastor Butch Paul again, sitting in on Monday the 12th of July for Melody's Season for financial survival. I realize that I'm not Melody and I can't do what she does, but I do the best I can. I really do. Melody Seastrom is a woman who deserves a break once in a while. And I don't begrudge her any time off. She's worked hard at what she does, and she's a woman that you can absolutely put your trust in and come doing business with her. I promise you that. But back to the article about Cuba. This is in Cuba, folks. We know they've been in suppression for many, many years. Y'all were alive during 1960, I think, 1963, Cuban Missile Crisis, 64, whatever it was. I remember that happened. I was just a young boy, but I remember that happened. And Kennedy said, you know, it was close to being the nuclear war at the time. But Cuba's been under dictatorships now for many, many, many decades. And Castro, of course, was the one that overthrew their type of somewhat free government back in the 60s, I guess it was, 50s, and took over, and now him and his family run about ever since. There's one clip circulating on Twitter showing protesters overturning a police car in Cardenas, 90 miles east of Havana. Another video showed people looting from one of the much-detested government-run stores, which sell wildly overpriced items in currencies most Cubans do not possess. Now imagine that, folks. The government-run stores, the prices are highly inflated, and they sell in currencies that Cubans don't have. You blame me for being upset? In a country known for repressive crackdowns on dissent, the rallies were widely viewed as astonishing. Activists and analysts called it the first time that so many people had openly protested against communist government since the so-called Maxino Uprising, which exploded in summer 1994 into a wave of Cubans leaving the country by sea. Carolina Barrio, a Cuban activist, went even further. It is the most massive popular demonstration to protest the government that we have experienced in Cuba since 1959. She said, by text message, referring to the year Fidel Castro took power. She called the public outpouring on Sunday spontaneous, frontal, and forceful. Somebody has to stand up. Somebody's got to say enough's enough. I mean, folks, by staying silent, silence sometimes, no, that people, well, silence is gold. No, silence most times is yellow. To consent without speaking is yellow. It's cowardly. And we've lost our country because we've consented by our apathy, indifference, complacency. It's yellow. It's not golden. It's yellow. I mentioned about California regulating water. Now, folks, this Deborah Tavares has lately been on my program for many years from time to time. Told us on our broadcast 15 years ago, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, that soon you would be for water out of your own well, for water off your rain roof, off the rainwater off your roof, water that you may store in a barrel, creeks going through your property, we're paying for all that. California, of course, it's a state that uses all these tyranny movements. California moves to regulate private agriculture wells, constrict water usage, and control food production. One more time, California moves to regulate private agriculture wells. I said private, folks. Constrict water usage and control food production. The failed state of California and its recalled governor are preparing for droughts in 2021. The state is getting ready for this natural disaster the best way they know how, by using more government control and by claiming ownership over natural resources on private property. Folks, don't just say it's California. I promise you it's coming to a state near you. Actually, your state soon. In fact, the state is now requiring flow meters on agricultural wells. Now, that will soon go down to private home wells. It is in some states already. You will pay for water off your own property. After all, it's your resource, it's limited supply. You got to pay for your share, don't you? But back to the article. In fact, the state is not requiring flow meters on agricultural wells to stop farmers and private landowners from pumping water on their own property. Pumping water will no longer be free and unlimited. California plans to meter all rural wells, limit the amount of water farmers can use, and charge them means dollars for it. I repeat that. They're going to limit it, that all the water farmers can use, and going to charge them millions of dollars for what they do use. These new controls will inevitably change cultivation practices across the state, constricting food production and controlling food supply. Henry Kissinger said many years ago, whoever controls the food controls the people. All right. Let's see. Now, this article was cut off right there, but said certain regions produce 45% of types of organic vegetables. He says it's not natural for us to have between 30 and 40 bills of water show up on our same day in a big brown manila envelope. That's a hard check to sign, he says. He pays nearly 1 million annually for water they used to pump from the ground freely. Even though water and rainwater helps to refill the aquifer naturally, he now has to pay for the corrupt and failed California government for it. So this gentleman says, I'm paying a million bucks a year already for water that used to come to here for free. This is what's coming. It's already here for America. You can laugh, you can scorn, you can mock, you can ridicule anything you want to do, folks. It's coming. We are now turning ourselves into a total economic plan to control the people in every way possible. Agenda 2030 was something everybody looked at and laughed at, but I think that isn't going to happen. Folks, it is happening. Unrest among the nations is biblical. There's going to be unrest among about every nation in the world. People are going to be fed up, tired of it, and there's going to be trouble in the streets. It's going to mean destruction of private property. It's going to mean destruction of, it's going to be millions of people slaughtered because of it. There's going to be lots of things happening in the world that we maybe don't want to think about, but it's happening on our watch. This is another article proving the same point. Who would have thought about avocado farmers taking up arms? Who would have thunk that, huh? Avocado farmers take up arms as Mexico violence spikes. Avocado farmers. A convoy of vigilantes snakes along a road in western Mexico, vowing to defend their avocado orchards from gangs sowing terror in a country reeling from a new wave of bloodshed. There's a picture there, folks, in the article, if you look it up. But a picture shows them carrying modern, new looking weapons. I'm talking about ARs, different types of weapons that weren't there. You see, they were new. They were not something dug out of a trash can somewhere used. Armed with assault rifles and other firearms, the masked men travel between plantations and maintain checkpoints in the Aero de Rosales in Michoacán State, the scene of the bloody cartel turf war. Before they began patrolling the area, residents lived in fear of kidnapping, extortion, and a theft of avocados, according to a member of the self-defense group Pueblos Unidos, which says it has 700 members. That Pueblos Unidos means people united. What that means. We need to be armed to defend ourselves, he told AFP, speaking on condition of anonymity, wearing a badge reading, down with injustice, no more dead. Previously, criminals came to do what they want to us, and that hasn't happened. It doesn't happen anymore, he added. So, it's not just in one area of the world. This is in Mexico. Farmers are armed themselves to protect their crops, and the Mexican government doesn't like it. But if they can't do the job, somebody has to. Somebody has to. And I know that's not pleasant to think about. Who wants to think about that? That's a civil war inside your borders. Well, folks, by the time I get through today, if we have time, you're going to see how civil war is brewing in America. And this is going to affect your economics. You know, we talk about economics in this program. It's what it's about. Financial survival. It's all a spiritual battle. But it concerns all of our lives, every aspect of our lives, including finances. Unrest causes a lot of problems, folks, that you need to consider for the future. And stability in your finances are important. The best, maybe you'll do without a lot of things. If you have something of value that you can at least work with, you do better than others. To listen to absurd articles and to think, well, this can't be true, I'm going to show one now that it really does seem far-fetched, but it is true. This is a Daily Expose newspaper. UK government report states all UK airports must close within the next 10 years. Beef and lamb is to be banned, and construction of new buildings must cease in the name of climate change. Well, we've talked about this many times on our broadcast and any of the church services I do. We've shared this. This is all about control, just like the COVID hoax was. A report produced by Oxford University and Imperial College in London for the UK government reveals that all airports will be ordered to close. Eating beef and lamb will be made illegal, and construction of new buildings will not be permitted in order to meet the legal commitment of zero emissions by 2050. The report states that all airports must close between 2020 and 2029, excluding Heathrow, Glasgow, and Belfast airports, which can only stay open on condition that transfers to and from the airport are done via rail. Let me repeat that, folks. 2020 was last year, right? The report states that all airports must close between 2020 and 2029, excluding Heathrow, Glasgow, and Belfast airports, which can only stay open on the condition that transfers to and from the airport are done via rail. Obviously, the airports were shut down with the COVID hoax and the pandemic. They shut down. There's very little travel from between nations over the last year. All remaining airports must then close between 2030 and 2049 as to meet the legal commitment of zero emissions by 2050. Every citizen of the United Kingdom must stop using aeroplanes for a significant period of time. So they're going to close all but three by 2029, 8 years from now, and close them all between 2030 and 2049. You say, well, I won't live that long. Your children will. Your grandchildren will. In addition, the report states that to obey the law of the Climate Change Act, the public will be required to stop doing anything that causes emissions, regardless of its energy source. According to the report, this will require the public to never eat beef or lamb ever again. To do this, national consumption of beef and lamb will drop by 50% between 2020 and 2029. Then between 2030 and 2039, beef and lamb will be phased out. The report also confirms that construction of new buildings must cease by 2050. Think about that. All new buildings must cease by 2050. Less than 30 years from now, no more new buildings. No more beef and lamb to eat. They mentioned pork and other things, chicken. I don't know about those. But airports will be closed entirely. They want it by 2049. And if people keep on multiplying, how are they going to build new homes with that permission? And how are they going to consume no energy at all? That's what they said. In addition, the report states that to obey the law of the Climate Change Act, the public will be required to stop doing anything that causes emissions regardless of its energy source. So how will people heat their homes, move about? How will they do that? I mean, even if you ride a bicycle, you got to eat, which means you have to grow food, which produces emissions. I mean, they got to do something to produce those foods and machinery of some kind. How are you going to do this? You see, we hear these things, and when we look at it and say, well, that's bad, but we don't think down into the details of it. What would that mean for future generations? And you say, well, that's the UK. It doesn't affect me. Folks, believe me, it will affect you. It will come to you real soon also. And to think that this has been done, mostly it's been discussed just for decades. But since COVID has hit, this has really been pedal to the metal on all this. Climate change, yes. Climate change is natural. It's happened throughout ever since God created this earth. Cold spells and hot spells and are nothing new. All right, let's talk to my friend BK from right here in West Virginia. BK, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Hey, doing real good. Hey, earlier in the program, you said all this is not Joe Biden's fault and it started under Trump.
Right.
And that's true. That's true. God's judgment came down on us in the Trump era. But, of course, you know, this goes back way farther than President Trump.
Absolutely.
Goes back to President Woodrow Wilson sneaking in the Federal Reserve on
and
Christmas
Roosevelt.
Eve in 1913. Yes, when Congress was out at Christmas break. And FDR on June 5th, 1933, the U.S. went off the gold standard, the currency being backed by gold. Congress enacted a joint resolution nullifying the right of creditors to demand payment in gold. And in 1971, President Nixon announced the United States would no longer convert dollars to gold at a fixed value, completely ending the gold standard, Pastor.
That's right. That's right. And gold back then was $35 an ounce.
Yes, sir. Pastor, you know, in the beginning of this country, the people were supposed to be the government. And even to this day, we the people were supposed to be the government.
That's right.
But honestly, sir, I believe it ended with Abraham Lincoln and the 14th Amendment in 1868. It turned the people into corporations being ruled by the big corporation, the federal government.
That's very true. And it started. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're
I had
ahead.
A loved one the other day. I had a loved one the other day say to me, "Old Sleepy Joe's the worst president, hands down, in United States history." And I said, "I see what you're saying, and I agree largely. But in my opinion, Abraham Lincoln is the worst president in American history because he used the federal government to invade Virginia and the southern states. And those Republicans after the war, they're total stinkers. I call it the war of federal aggression." And if President Biden and Vice President Harris invade West Virginia in the next 3.5 years, I'll agree he's the worst. And with them talking about mandatory vaccines and knocking door to door about vaccines, that unfortunately could become reality, and it is very concerning, sir.
It's already started. They're already knocking on doors. It's already going on. They're already doing it in some states. And then they also, according to other articles I read, that I put confidence in the writers. But not only doing that, they're looking for guns, perhaps, in your homes. They're checking attitudes of people when they knock on the doors. They want them to report. Now, this is on my website already. It's been on the website soon. It's not already there. They want them to fill out paperwork and how the people respond to them. You want to hang on through the break, or are you finished, AB?
No, sir. That's all right, brother.
All right, thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. Thank you. Look for the break. A lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're down the last segment. It's going by so quickly. I want to thank BK for the phone call. BK, I tell you what, doesn't live too far from what I do here in West Virginia. He's about probably a half hour, 35 minutes south of me. Very, very intelligent gentleman. And he shares and knows what he knows. He calls our broadcast pretty often. And thanks for the phone call, BK. I do appreciate it. But back to what we're talking about and what's going on here. As you already know, Biden is already asking people to go out and go door to door, trying to persuade people to take the vaccine. Now, folks, I have to say this again. If this vaccine is so effective and so safe, why do they have to try to force you to take it, coerce you to take it, bribe you to take it? Why? And how about the tens of thousands who've come out and said they've been made sick by this? Tens of thousands have died from it. That's never on CNN, ABC, or Fox, is it? But this isn't over, folks. This is not over. Believe me, COVID is not over. Other variants are out there. This virus, so-called virus, was made to change and make new variants as it goes along. This was invented. It's a man-made virus. It was invented to do just that, to change just like the flu does. It will change. You can't make a vaccine to fit them all because it changes. It was invented for that purpose. Pfizer to discuss COVID-19 vaccine booster with U.S. officials. Folks, this is coming. We're not anywhere near done yet. No, we're not. Pfizer says it plans to meet with top U.S. health officials Monday to discuss the drug maker's request for federal authorization of a third dose of its COVID-19 vaccine, as President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor acknowledged that it is entirely conceivable, maybe likely, that booster shots will be needed. No, it's not just likely, folks. I promise you this is coming. The company said it was scheduled to have the meeting with Food and Drug Administration and other officials Monday, days after Pfizer asserted the booster shots will be needed within 12 months. Pfizer's Dr. Michael Dalston told Associated Press last week that early data from the company's booster study suggests people's antibody levels jump 5 to 10-fold after a third dose compared to their second dose months earlier. Evidence, it believes, supports the need for a booster. You know, I maybe shouldn't say this from Melody's program, but I don't think she'll mind. And my broadcast, Call to Decision Ministries, there's on this at 8 o'clock at night Eastern Time, we're going to offer a T-shirt through our ministry. It's going to show on a full-color picture of a lion standing amongst a flock of sheep with the sheep wearing masks, and the lion just staring into the camera like, don't come this way. It says on top of the picture, "No fear." And the bottom it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." I want this T-shirt so people can wear it in public and let them know we ain't backing up. We don't need your mask. We don't need your shots. We're not going to take them. And I don't know how you're going to handle them when they come to your house, because they will come to your house. Eventually, they'll come by your home. What's going to happen then? I guess it's up to you. But reading their own materials, their own guidelines for this, They are going to report how you receive them to their superiors. Oh yeah. Yep, it's coming, folks. It's down. It's really here. Please don't shrug it off and don't think that you shouldn't prepare. I promise you, you're going to be glad you have everything you have in your home, some extra food, a water filter, and other things you're going to need in the future. Prayerfully, by the grace of God, maybe he'll give us a reprieve for a short period of time, but it's coming. I promise it is. Different topic, more situations in the world. China says it drove away U.S. warship on the anniversary of tribunal ruling. China military said it drove away a U.S. warship that illegally entered Chinese waters near the Paracel Islands on Monday, the anniversary of an international court ruling that held Beijing had no claim over the South China Sea. The USS Benfold entered the waters without China's approval, seriously violating its sovereignty and undermining the stability of the South China Sea, the Southern Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army said. We urge the United States to immediately stop such provocative actions. On July 12, 2016, the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague ruled that China had no historic title over the South China Sea, a ruling that Beijing said it would ignore. The Benfold asserted its navigational rights and freedoms in the vicinity of the Paracel Islands. Consistent with international law, the U.S. Navy said in a statement, the islands are claimed by China, Taiwan, and Vietnam, which require either permission or advance notification before a military vessel passes through. So not just China saying no, Taiwan said no, and Vietnam said you can enter this without permission. Under international law, as reflected in the Law of the Sea Convention, the ships of all states, including with their warships, enjoy the right of innocent passage through the territorial sea, the U.S. Navy added. Or maybe so, but China, Vietnam, and Taiwan said it's our waters, don't invade them. I don't know. Do you figure it out? I mean, no matter what the cause, wars have been started for a lot less than that. I mean, I could get into that. I won't get into it now, but we've been lied into many wars, including Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, we've been lied into wars, folks. We've been, because money, war is profitable for many people, but not for the sheeple. But back to the article here. FBI wants family members to snitch on each other to prevent homegrown extremism. As the Nazis worked to consolidate their power and build a cohesive national community, a suppression of dissent played a key role. In 1933, the Nazis issued a decree that required Germans to turn anyone who spoke against the party, its leaders, or the government. The FBI issued an ominous tweet on Sunday, which encourages family members and peers to learn how to spot suspicious behaviors and report them to the FBI in the name of national security. The broadly worded tweet from the same agency that confiscated an unassembled Lego model of the U.S. Capitol as evidence against a January 6th protester suggests that family members are often best positioned to witness signs of mobilization to violence. Let me repeat that. Now, folks, this is a true story. The FBI did confiscate an unassembled Lego model of the U.S. Capitol as evidence against a protester on January 6th for having that. They want the families who are, they say, are the best position to witness signs of mobilization to violence. For example, your radicalized Antifa nephew is being encouraged to tell the FBI that you might be a domestic terror threat because you own guns, and told the family at Thanksgiving you don't like illegal immigration. The FBI's tweet goes hand in hand with a campaign dating back to at least September 2020, when FBI Director Chris Wray told Congress that the greatest threat facing America comes from domestic extremism, and not the thousands of protesters who spent much of last year looting, murdering, and setting fires across American cities, which quickly morphed into the angry white men who disagree with the Democratic policies. Combine that with President Biden's framing the Capitol rioters as white supremacists. Repeat that. But Biden said that the Capitol rioters are white supremacists, which he said is the most lethal terrorist threat to our homeland security, homeland today, said General Mark Milley, the highest-ranking military officer in the U.S., as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, testifying last month that he wants to understand where white rage comes from, and it couldn't be more clear that this is a coordinated propaganda campaign to demonize the entire race to solve a problem that largely doesn't exist, while actual domestic terrorism is excused as mostly peaceful protests. Folks, we're heading down a bad road. A bad road. Demetri Duma, the prophet, had come over here back in the 80s and 90s in America, come over to warn us. He didn't want to come here. You need to read his story about it online, perhaps. Demetri Duma. And he came over, he was told by God to come and witness to the American people and tell them if they don't repent, this is what's going to happen. One of the things that's going to happen in America is going to go to civil war. And if you can't see it happening, you're not looking. You're not looking. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. Christ told us in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, that a house divided cannot stand. They're dividing this nation. It's made so many different factions now. It's, I mean, unbelievable. The vaxxed, unvaxxed, the blacks and the whites. And it's just going on and on and on. They're doing it for a purpose. The Mitzvah Duma's prophecies are being fulfilled. When we go to civil war, according to these prophecies, Russia and other nations will invade us from the south. And we already know that China has a base in Venezuela. You figure it out. Another slap in the face, if you will, to history, and another division and another crack in America's moral society, morally it's already pretty much shot, but its society as a whole, with any common bond left, it's been attacked again. Charlottesville takes down two more statues deemed offensive to Native Americans in the weekend removals. Folks, you can tear down all the history you want. Facts or fiction. I mean, you can tear down, if history is history, it really happened, it happened. You can tear it down, but you can't change it. All you can do is mess up the future. When you tear up a country's tap roots, when you tear up a country's heritage, you destroy its root system, it's going to decay and die, wither and die. And folks, it is wither and dying. I just got through teaching at our Bible studies, America, why will ye die? And I said in the article that goes along on the same topic, America doesn't need revived. America needs resurrected. She does. America's dead. As we know it, she's dead. That's why I stay on this program and with Melody trying to tell people to prepare. That's why I do my own radio broadcast. But back to the article. It was a big weekend for the statue removals in the university. They become a flashpoint in recent years. Shortly after the city carved away a monument to Confederate General Stonewall Jackson, a statue of Robert E. Lee that triggered a deadly weekend of violence in 2017, workers carried off two more statues that critics said depicted Native Americans in a racist and disparaging manner. One statue, which sat in a grassy park on the University of Virginia campus, showed Revolutionary War General George Rogers Clark riding a horse toward three unarmed Native Americans as two frontiersmen waited behind him, one of them in the act of raising his rifle. The pedestal declared in engraved letters, "Conqueror of the Northwest," a reference to the battle, his prowess against the British. The second statue, outside downtown Federal Courthouse, and meant to honor Lewis and Clark's expedition to the Pacific, showed Meriwether Lewis and William Clark standing straight and staring into a distance as Sacagawea crossed at their side. Folks, our nation is stringing at gnats and swallowing camels. We're watching our nation decay around us in every way possible. We have to become wise enough to understand that this division is made on purpose. Protect yourself, folks, as best you can. Get food, get a water filter, even get some guns and ammo. But get some precious metals to back up what you have financially. Your paper will be no good soon. Back to this, to prove another point as far as separation and splitting the country. White spite. Again, white spite. New York City principal conspired to oust Caucasian teachers. The faculty of Washington Heights High School was rebelling against their principal, charging in a vote of no confidence that she has frequently but unsuccessfully attempted to divide our school by race. I repeat that. She frequently and unsuccessfully attempted to divide our school by race. Isn't that what I've been saying right now? Paula Leave, principal of the High School for Law and Public Service, is now under investigation by the City Department of Education for allegedly telling a faculty member she was going to get rid of all these white teachers that aren't doing anything for the kids of our community. Leave, a Dominican, also asked faculty members to conspire with her to try to oust a white colleague, according to a complaint filed last week with the DOE's official Office of Equal Opportunity. She definitely has something against white people, says the complainant, obtained by the Post. Folks, this is so sad. I have some dear friends who are black, good people, good men and women, that are willing to stand for this nation. And I've had one on the program more than once. Jonathan Alexander with Liberty Counsel has been on my broadcast more than once, a fine Christian young man who understands what's happening just like we do. I don't know what else we can say as talk show hosts, as Melody's been saying for years and trying to talk to you. Obviously, if you study the history of precious metals, you see the gold and silver do fluctuate, but they continue to climb. They do fluctuate, but they never go back down and stay down. They're always worth something. As a pastor and a preacher, and I like to think a friend, The Bible teaches about unjust weights and measures. It's a sin. Our fiat currency is a sin to use. We're all cursed with it. That's part of our curse as a nation. Nehemiah chapter 9, last few verses, will tell you what happens to a people that forgets God in their own land. Read for yourself. But these are things that we share. Melanie shared with you every day, and I do in my broadcast. I do it in our Bible studies. Because we care. We truly care for you. Because you people are our family. You listen to this program and other programs like it, you're trying to learn. You're family. We want you to protect yourselves and your children and grandchildren. Don't just shrug it off and think, well, this is going to happen in 2040. I won't be here then. Well, I know I won't be. I'm 72 years old now. But I'm not worried about that for myself. I have children and grandchildren and a great-grandchild on the way. Don't I owe it to them, and even more so to the God who created me, to try to do what's right, to expose evil, to confront evil, and dispose of evil? By all means necessary to safeguard my children's futures. Isn't that my job as just a mere mortal on earth? Especially because I believe there is a God who rules in the affairs of man. Isn't that my position as a man? It's yours too. And ladies also, by the way. This battle is not just to the strongest, but to the bravest. Stand your ground for what's right. God bless. I'll see you in my radio show after a while. Give Melody a call at 800-375-4188. Bye-bye.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got the oil, well,